This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, in for Terry Gross. The mischievous fairy tale Shrek began as a 1990 book by the late William Steig about a warty ogre and an even wartier princess. Transformed into a smash animated feature in 2001, it's now spawned a sequel, Shrek 2. David Edelstein has this review.
It was weird to be maybe the only person on the planet indifferent to the original Shrek, with its eyesore colors and smirky in-jokes and fast-talking black guy sidekick disguised as a donkey. I felt like, well, an ogre in a sea of happy pixies. I admit that was a sourpuss reaction, because Shrek did have great stuff. The first scene, for instance, in which the uncouth bug-eating monster hero uses a prudish old fairy tale as toilet paper, or the evil Lord Farquaad's exhortation to his troops, which looks more prophetic every day. Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. I wasn't prepared, though, for the blast of happiness that is Shrek 2. It's a leap forward on every level, beginning with the plot, which isn't another cookie-cutter odyssey. The movie opens with the ogre Shrek, voiced by Mike Myers, and his princess bride, Fiona, voiced by Cameron Diaz, on their honeymoon. In the last film, a father ashamed of the curse that made her a part-time ogre had locked the fair Fiona in a tower. But in the climax, she learned that it was the conventionally willowy blonde who wasn't her real self. Now the lovebirds revel in their shared ogreishness. They're even unfazed by the pitchfork-wielding mob that tends to come out when flatulent green giants have noisy, albeit PG-rated sex in the middle of their fields. The problem is that no one will let them live happily ever after as ogres. The couple knows they're in trouble when an invitation comes from Fiona's mom and dad, the king and queen, voiced by John Cleese and Julie Andrews, who don't realize that their beauteous daughter has not only married a mammoth, trumpet-eared slab of green beef, but joyously become one herself. Dinner at the castle with the in-laws is no picnic.
Bon appétit!
Oh, Mexican food! My favorite!
Well, let's not just sit here with our tummies rumbling. Everybody dig in.
Don't mind if I do, Lillian.
So, I suppose any grandchildren I could expect from you would be...
ogres. Yes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Right, Harold?
Oh, no! No, of course not. That is, assuming you don't eat your own young...
Dad!
Oh, no, we usually prefer the ones who've been locked away in a tower.
Shrek, please.
I only did that because I love her.
Oh, hi. Daycare or Dragon Guarded Castle?
You wouldn't understand. You're not her father.
It's so nice to have the family together for dinner.
It's a shock when the king hires an assassin to bump off his new son-in-law, but a happy one when it turns out to be Puss in Boots, voiced by Antonio Banderas. The former Zorro stops the show by recasting the Mexican Avenger as an impudent feline with a weapon more disarming than a foil, a pair of schlock kitty painting saucer eyes that are impossibly adorable. Although Eddie Murphy's donkey warns him the position of annoying talking animal has already been taken, sharing that function is the best thing that could have happened to this braying ass. The issue in Shrek 2 is not how one rescues a princess, but how one makes the marriage work within a family and a society that has problems with what you might call the alien other. Even Fiona's sugary fairy godmother, voiced by absolutely fabulous's brilliant Jennifer Saunders, can't handle it. Behind that twinkly facade, she turns out to be a steely corporate creature and the mother of Prince Charming, who feels entitled to the princess. She hatches a plan to turn the young woman back into a willowy blonde. She's the true target of Shrek 2. She's like a Disney executive with firm and acquisitive ideas about what constitutes happily ever afterdom. You could say the film boils down to a progressive plea on behalf of so-called misfits to let them stay true to their essential misfit selves, a lesson in how to keep your head when those around you are surgically altering theirs. Fortunately, there's no need to boil it down. Just a frolic in the wave upon wave of parodies, songs, and stupendous visual and vocal turns. I still don't love the 3D virtual reality look. My taste runs to cartoons that are cartoon-like, that tickle your synapses by madly altering the laws of time and space in the manner of last year's Triplets of Belleville. And my ideal animated film would have fewer fast food tie-ins and more original songs. But that final rush of demented fairy tale revisionism, the Godzilla gingerbread man, Pinocchio reenacting Mission Impossible in ladies' underwear, the king who looks better as a frog, to resist it all, you'd have to be an ogre. I take that back. Ogres are a gas.
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate. Coming up, the creator of the comic strip Peanuts, the late Charles Schulz. This is Fresh Air.